Hello, everyone, and welcome to JW's Brainwaves. My name is Jessica Brooks, and I'm here with my co-host, Shirley Brooks, and we are so excited for today's episode. Some of the topics that we have for this episode are common misconceptions for traumatic brain injuries. So, Mom, how was your week this week?
Well, much like every other week, uneventful, which is a good thing,
Sometimes it's good to just, you know, not have much going on, but I'm actually the opposite. I was preparing for a speaking engagement that I had today, and I got to speak to young girls, and the company that invited me was I&I Etiquette and Professional Services. They hosted a beautiful, beautiful event today. And the event was a vision board party. So I am literally pooped. I have no energy at all. Right after the speech, I came home and I was in the bed until now.
Well, I'm pooped too. but I guess in a good way, only because it's just because it's the end of the week. But this week, I'm kind of excited. I want to jump right into it, you know, talking about some of the misconceptions about brain injuries. Because even in preparing for this podcast, we discussed a few misconceptions.
It was pretty bad.
Yeah, we got a little heated. A little feelings got a little hurt. And that in itself was a huge misconception. One of the things that that came up was, you know, I told Jessica that I, you know, really wanted to prepare for this interview, and Jessica says no, she wanted this to be more of a conversation. But I said I needed to learn a little bit more about brain injuries, and she got a little offended because she felt that I did not, you know, over the course of the last year, I haven't actually done my research and found out more about brain injuries. And I was trying to explain to her, I didn't even know what to research or what questions to ask. It's like, and I gave her the example where my husband, her dad, recently had surgery because he ruptured his patella. So basically his kneecap, the muscles that held his kneecap in place, they tore, and his kneecap just kind of came out of place and was on the side of his leg. And so when this happened, Jessica insisted on going to the hospital with her dad initially because the two of us couldn't go at that time. And so I explained to her, I understood why she wanted to go, because she has more experience and more of a background, because she, you know, has her degree in sports medicine. So she would know what types of questions to ask a doctor initially. I had no idea. So I understood, you know, the fact that she wanted to go to the hospital first, you know, and I had to follow, you know, because I just could not leave at the time. I actually had my sick mom here. So, in getting back to the brain injury part of this, I didn't know exactly what types of questions to ask or what type of research that I needed, where I needed to get started, you know, with the research, because this is my first time dealing with someone, you know, with a brain injury. You know, when I was really young, yes, my brother, he had a concussion, but, you know, at the time I was very young. I was probably maybe about 12 years old or so.
Ooh, we have to cut to a break. This is getting good. I need to tell my half of the story because, you know, Welcome back to JW's Brainwaves. My name is Jessica Brooks, and I am your host and my co-host,
Shirley Brooks.
And if you didn't hear about the first section, basically we were talking about common misconceptions for TBIs. And my mom was explaining her position on her knowledge background and how she did not look up anything for a traumatic brain injury, so she kind of didn't know what was going on, what to expect. And we were going over this topic, and I was kind of offended that she didn't look up anything for like this whole year that I've had a traumatic brain injury. And she was giving her example of why she didn't know, right?
Yeah, I was basically discussing the fact that I didn't know what questions to ask. Because, again, this is my first time dealing with a traumatic brain injury.
And I was given mine, too.
Okay, but I was given the example of when I was roughly about 12 years old or so, and my brother was playing football. He got hit in the head. He had a concussion. He came home, you know, he was talking a little sideways for a while.
What do you mean by sideways?
You know, you would ask his name and he would just kind of laugh and say, I don't know. or, you know, whatever questions we asked, he really couldn't answer any of the questions.
Right.
But, you know, as a 12-year-old, I thought that was just, you know, funny. Mm-hmm. And, you know, about maybe a day or so later, you know, everything appeared to be back to normal. But again, so that was like the only experience that I had with someone, you know, with a concussion. So I just assumed you get a concussion, it's going to last a couple of days. You know, you might be confused for a few days, and then after that, you're fine.
So what were you thinking when I was going to the doctors, like, 7 different doctors a week? Like, that makes no sense. Like, well, my poor dad was taking me to all of the appointments, and I'm listening to you now, I'm like, wait, what? Like, so did you think that we were going out to lunch all the time? I mean, sometimes we did, but we still went to the doctors first. So it was just kind of weird to know that you didn't even like, you know, kind of think twice in a sense to
get further detail. Now here's the misconception. I did think twice.
You just didn't act on it twice.
But again, I didn't know what to expect. You know, like I said, I guess I was under the impression that almost like any day now she's going to snap out of this. You know, yes, initially you seemed fine. Then 2 or 3 days later, that's when I really saw the symptoms for myself. You know, the slurred speech. The delay in your speech, actually, you know, the headaches, you couldn't take the bright lights. I started seeing those things for myself, but again, I'm thinking this is only going to last for a few days. I didn't realize that this was going to go on, you know, like it did, because again, I had no experience in this area. I know you had no experience either.
And that's why I made a phone call to, you know, stand with me and be my advocate in this particular conversation. I got my dad, guys. My dad is Willie Brooks, and he's here with us today stand with me and show just going to lunch.
But before you two even get into your lunch dates, like I was saying before the last break, you know, when my husband fell and he injured his knee, and again, Jessica insisted on going with him to the hospital initially because, again, she has a background in this area. And maybe not specifically this area, but at least she knew more about what was happening in this area. But I'll get into that a little bit more when we come back from this break.
Thanks for listening, guys. Welcome back to JW's Brainwaves. I'm Jessica Brooks, the host, and my co-host,
Shirley Brooks.
And I also have my dad, Willie Brooks, here with us. So we're talking about common misconceptions. We're also talking about what we feel is true, what we feel is not true. We left off on concussions, and we left off on mild TBIs going away quickly. My mom says she believes that they do. My dad said he had a concussion. He was out for 2 hours, and then he came back, and he was fine. And I don't believe it because, obviously, I'm in my first year of post-concussion syndrome.
Yeah, well, then next let's move on, because I want to talk about the misconception of a lot of people having the same symptoms, you know, all people with TBIs, and do they have the same symptoms? I have to say no, because again, the little experience that I had was totally different from what you experienced. So no, people don't have the same symptoms. So it's not something that you can just put in a box and say, if you have this, that, or the other, you have a concussion. And I think everybody here probably agrees with me. If not,
speak now or forever hold your peace. No, I agree with you definitely. And TBI, traumatic brain injuries, it's such a big umbrella that, like, you see other people who have had, like, brain surgeries to get a tumor removed. You have people who have strokes included into this, and we're kind of all lumped together. So of course my symptoms will be a little bit different than someone who has a stroke from a brain surgery. We might have some common symptoms, but we also have uncommon symptoms as well.
Correct.
Dad, how did you feel about it?
I think, again, because all of us are individuals, even when we sustain different injuries or common injuries, there are going to be different reactions and different diagnoses,
right,
initially. And then as you probe along the way, you're going to see that there are some similarities, but again, there are going to be a lot of differences.
Yeah, even when we were reading this article, it said something about even having, like, being male to female, if we pretty much got hit in the same area from, like, the same type of car accident or same situation, you could have different effects, which I thought was crazy. And then even age had a factor too.
Right. But moving right along, like, one of the other misconceptions is that the fact that symptoms might appear right away. And I definitely can say that is not true. Because you, Jessica, you had an accident. And, you know, the moment we heard that you had an accident and, you know, you were out of state, you know, I basically grabbed my bags. I was ready to go. Then, you know, your friends who are with you says, you know, me and my parents will take care of her. We'll bring her home tomorrow because she's going to be released, you know, from the hospital. So I waited on pins and needles. You came in the next day, you know, and plus we talked to you that night too. And you seemed, you know, a little shaken, yes, but you seemed okay.
Wow, I don't even remember that. At all.
Yeah, we talked to you at the accident scene. We talked to you while after you got to the hospital. And you seemed, you know, stable enough where we could hold off at least, you know, till the next day, until you got home, till you were brought home. When you came home, you appeared. I even spoke to you actually on the road before you got here. You know, appeared, again, shaken, but not, you know, totally out of it. But within 2 or 3 days, you were a totally different person. It was like night and day.
Wow, I feel like different though, because what I do remember from the earlier on stages was the light killed me. It killed me. Like, I could not, like, function. It was like kryptonite or something, and I was Superman. That I remember from early on. And, like, I remember having an actual headache from early on. Everything else, like the other symptoms, we gotta take a break soon. Stay tuned, guys. Thanks for listening. Welcome back. My name is Jessica Brooks, and I'm here with my co-host
Shirley Brooks
and our guest, our special guest,
Willie Brooks.
And we are talking about common misconceptions if you're just now joining us. And we are on, do TBI symptoms appear right away? My mom says that she does not agree with that. I say I agree with that. I remember having a headache and the light killing me early on. I wanted to see what my dad felt about it. What do you think?
I can only go by my own personal experience. And when I sustained a concussion, there was a instantaneous reaction. Headaches, again, memory loss, and disorientation. So, in my own humble opinion, I would say yes.
But again, I guess maybe because your friends brought you home and their parents, and you know, you were able to walk in the house, you know, on your own and everything, and I had actually prepared a lunch for them. So maybe I was more into, you know, being appreciative, trying to show my appreciation for them bringing you home. And, you know, initially you appeared. So maybe I would use the wrong word, but you appeared to be, you know, like I said, shaken, but okay. And really, it was like the next day that I noticed, you know, your speech was slurred, but I thought it was slow at that time because you did have a headache. You know, sometimes you do talk a person may talk a little slower or a little lighter because of a headache. So I might have been confusing symptoms, you know, and not necessarily putting them in that brain injury box.
Mm-hmm. But was I like up long when I first came home?
No. No, you came in. Actually, I don't even think you ate lunch. You just sat here at the table with them. They didn't stay long. They came in. They pretty much dropped you off. And I'll say within an hour, they were, you know, headed back to Maryland. But by the time they were, like, out the door, you were basically in the bed.
Yeah. Mm. All right, well, let's see what the next misconception could be. I have no clue why I can't talk right now.
Well, the next one actually is like direct head impact. Is it necessary for a TBI to occur? And I have to say no, because again, a person could be shaken, and the fact that your brain is basically hitting the walls, mm-hmm. you know, that's what's going to cause the head injury. So you don't necessarily have to bump your head, you know, on the outside.
Right.
Just the fact that you've been shaken, you know, or almost like in a whiplash state, that's when you can get a brain injury also from the impact of your brain hitting the inside walls of your head.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think of like little babies, you know, what is that shaking?
Baby syndrome.
Yeah, like, what about you, Dad? What do you think? Do you think a direct impact or like a direct hit or blow to the head is necessary for a concussion? I mean, excuse me, TBI?
No. Now, knowing what I do know, as you said about the whiplash and again, taking you to the number of doctors and doing all the different evaluations and hearing their prognosis, I now have been more educated to know that that is not always the case. Where brain injuries occur.
See, originally when we first looked at this, I actually said yes, because I felt like you need to have some direct trauma. But then after reviewing and like chatting with my mom, I want to switch sides and say no, because I do agree it's not like your head moving, it's the brain inside your skull that's affected, that moves and, you know, hits the inside walls, like she said.
Okay, well, you know what? One of the things that I also wanted to talk about tonight was the fact that you had, when you were in the hospital, you know, they did x-rays, they did, you know, just different CAT scan and things like that.
Ooh, we have to take a break. We have to take a break. Hold that thought. We'll be right back, guys. Thanks for listening. Welcome back, listeners, to JW's Brainwaves. I'm Jessica Brooks. I'm here with my co-host,
Shirley Brooks.
And our guest,
Willie Brooks.
So when we left off, we were just about to get into whether or not brain injuries can be detected, you know, through CT scans, MRIs, and EEGs. And
did you want to break down any of those, what those mean? CT scan,
the CAT scan,
MRI. I don't know. I think it has something to do with, like, magnetic something. I don't know. Imaging. Yes. If any of you guys know, feel free to call in and let us know what an MRI is, because we don't know.
EEG.
Oh, yeah. I have no clue what the EEG is. Is that the thing that, like, goes up and down? I don't even know. Is that? Well, if you guys know, call us in and let us know.
So you're going to ask a question you don't know the answer to.
I really don't know. But I don't know what
this is. But anyway, I do remember you having, you know, when you initially had the accident, you had a CAT scan. And, you know, and the doctor said that it came back normal, that you were fine. Again, another reason why I didn't go down to Maryland that same day. The doctors were wrong. You know, they're saying that you were fine, but in actuality, you had a severe concussion. You hit your head twice. You have a severe concussion, which is now a brain injury. And in listening to that doctor over the phone, you know, I feel bad because I didn't go down there when you, in all actuality, did have something more seriously wrong with you than we thought.
Yeah. But I don't know if it would have even made a difference. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like from what everyone's telling me that, like, my symptoms were just regular concussion syndrome symptoms. So we wouldn't have known how severe it was until time went by anyway. But I don't, I could be wrong. We could have probably, like, demanded more imaging or something. I don't know. Mm-hmm. What do you think, Dad?
With lack of knowledge that most of us have about brain injuries, we use the doctors as basically the experts. And that may be a problem sometimes. But in this case, our opinion was that because they said that there was no damage to your brain or anything, we used that as almost gospel and being thankful that there wasn't any problems. So in that case, we were wrong in doing that. But again, that's on the 2020 is hindsight, but that is because our lack of knowledge about that.
Wait, what do you guys feel about, like, you know, I was, like, when I started to feel a little bit better, I started to kind of tap into my education and, like, remember how we used to do, like, research and stuff. So I started looking up traumatic brain injuries and concussions and treatments and all of that. And, like, the one thing that I found was that basically everything that I'm going through now may not be able to be visibly seen, I guess, what is it, objectively? Mm-hmm. Until I die and they open up my head and they look in the brain. But recently they discovered that there is a way that you can see the, what is the football thing, CTE? CET? Basically, it's like a head injury that you can get from being, like, hit multiple times from the NFL. I forget the acronym right now, but basically they discovered a way where you can actually see the injury sites in the brain now while being alive, instead of having to actually cut your skull and, like, cut your brain to see those injury sites. So I wonder if there's, like, something that I could do now to see inside.
That's something I'm sure you would have to press, you know, your doctors on. A lot of times, especially when there's new things out there, new technologies out there. But, you know, we'll discuss that when we come back. So listen, hang in there, guys, and we'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Shirley Brooks and Jessica Brooks and Willie Brooks, and we're discussing common misconceptions for TBIs. One of the things, actually, I want to jump right into this because you're considered, Jessica, having a mild TBI, and one of the misconceptions is a mild TBI is no big deal. Mm-hmm. But I think you can speak from experience that it actually is a big deal. Because, again, from the top of the show, we talked about how, you know, our experiences with concussions, and we thought, a couple of days, a couple of hours, you'll be fine. And those people were considered to have mild TBIs or mild concussions. Now, fast forward, you've been diagnosed with a mild TBI, and it is a big deal. It's lasting longer than a couple of hours or a couple of days. It's been a year. So what are your thoughts about that?
I kind of missed that. I'm so sorry.
Oh, I threw too much at you at one time?
Yeah, I didn't.
Perfect example of Jessica.
This is actually really embarrassing.
I'd like to comment on it.
Thanks there, buddy.
Once again, I thought that when you had a mild TBI, it was something that would be short term. And my definition of short term, a month to possibly 3 months. And again, I go back to all the doctor appointments that I took Jessica on, and sat in the room listening to all the different diagnosing and all the different exercises and all the different examinations that she went through, I realized that it was a lot more serious than mild, and that this was not going to be, for lack of a better term, a quick fix. And it wasn't going to go away in 2 months or 3 months. This was going to be a process. And that educated me about the definition of TBI and, you know, concussions. And again, I really came back with a different thought process on how Jessica was going to be and the length of time that she was going to have this illness. And I mentioned it to my wife that this was not going to be a overnight or quick fix.
That's right. And I do recall, you know, Willie, you know, taking Jessica to a doctor's appointment, and he came back, and he looked like he was almost in tears when he said to me, Cheryl, she can't even remember her birth date. And, you know, that was very hurtful. That was a very defining moment, you know. So, you know, this injury, it's not an illness, it's an injury. It's a very serious thing. Even though she's been diagnosed as having a mild TBI, it's very serious because, you know, it could lead to a mental illness. It is already affecting her employability because she no longer has her job. She's been let go because she couldn't go back to work. She hasn't been released from out of her doctor's care. This is her neuro physicians as well as her
neuropsychologist.
Her neuropsychologist. No one's willing to release her so that she can go back to work. Jessica had been accepted to nursing school, and she was just days away from actually starting nursing school. She couldn't do that. So when they say a mild TBI is no big deal, I truly, truly beg to differ.
Go ahead.
No.
Oh man, we gotta go on a break. I just remembered what was going on. I'm not even like trying to say that to be funny. All right, but keep listening, guys.
Oh, Okay, welcome back from the break, and we were just discussing mild TBIs being no big deal, but we all kind of beg to differ. And here's Jessica's thoughts on that.
I feel like they say mild traumatic brain injuries are not as severe because we don't have that many deficits compared to others. Like for me, for instance, like there's a strong possibility that I'll be able to go back to school. I'll eventually be able to work. Whereas other individuals will probably have to need, they'll be dependent for the rest of their life. Meaning like having to go to the bathroom with someone, you know, getting help eating and so on and so forth, or confined to
assistance.
So I mean, but I feel like it doesn't take away from my own hardships. And to be honest, I was having like a hard time with that. I was always saying like, you know, who am I to share my story where there's people who have more extreme versions of a traumatic brain injury? And one of my cousins, actually, we call them the Snowbirds. They're the Beeling sisters. They actually, her name was May. She actually said that maybe that was like how God wanted it to be, because now I can stand up and I can start a dialogue for those who can't for themselves. So it was just kind of bittersweet in a sense, I guess.
But since you mentioned the Beeling sisters, or the Snowbirds, as we like to call them, it's an inside family joke. We do want to, you know, take the time right now to do a few shout outs, not only to the Beeling sisters, but also to One Concussion, who
listen to us, and they're our friends on Instagram. Oh, also, guys, if you guys have Instagram, follow us on Instagram at JW's Brainwaves, and also you can follow our nonprofit, who is our provider, which is Jazara's Way on Instagram as well.
Okay. And another shout out we'd like to give to the Black Healing Matters.
Okay. They are our, I guess, like sister station or sister show. They are on the same program as us, and they have their show once a week, I believe they said. And they called in and gave us a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful message. Thank you so much for listening in. Oh, we have a goodie for you guys. So our upcoming episodes, we are going to include an executive chef. A lot of people have been speaking about the nutrition side of how you can feel better with a traumatic brain injury. There are specific foods that I found out that promote memory gain, memory function, brain function. And we have a professional that is coming in to talk about that. He's even going to give us some recipes of these foods that we can try to see if we have any benefits, helping us to not have that fogginess, or helping us with just cognitive function. I remember when I was in school doing my undergrad, I would always have like a big salmon dinner before studying for an exam, and that actually helped a lot. The omega-3 in the salmon was pretty beneficial, so I'm really excited to hear what he has to say.
Okay, well, I think we're going to end our podcast right about here. We want to thank Willie Brooks for sitting in with us today.
Thanks,
man. And again, we're looking forward to you joining us when Chef Noel Weedle comes on and discusses the nutrition and how it will help with our brain functions. So stay tuned, and we'll see you next time.
Yep. Thanks for listening. Have a good one.